Is that it?
Yeah.
You are terrible at the point, Joey. You are awful at the point. First off, Joey Noel, you're not taller than the cameras. If you're in a car listening to the show, those are ambulances on our end, not yours. And then what was, you were bopping around. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Tim Geddes.
Let Tim host.
How are you, Tim?
I'm fantastic. It's good to be back with you, Greg.
It's good to be back with you. Of course, I was over at Dice. Thank you so much for all the support. JBR writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hey, Greg and Tim. Greg, what does the Dice Awards mean to you? You've hosted the show twice and you've done a great job. I know it's an award show, but hosting it twice must have had some special meaning for you at this point. I'd love to know your thoughts. Greetings from Florida, JBR. Of course, yes, I was gone on what, Wednesday? On Wednesday at the last second. So Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, I was gone in Las Vegas getting ready for the Dice Awards. They were on Thursday night. Again, thank you so much for watching it. I know how many of you did. The kind tweets, the good chat, everything else you guys were having in Twitch. The Dice Awards are super special to me, Tim.
Yeah.
I always say, when I was at IGN, it was this weird thing of Dice would come around and only Jim Riley or Goldfarb would go. And then like whoever the EIC is might pop down there to see what was going on. Because Dice is... Whereas GDC, I feel, is like, hey, this is a conference for developers. GDC is like, hey, this is a conference for... indie devs, every developer of any kind come together, whether you are Todd Howard or whether you are somebody in a garage making a game or you're just interested, you're a student and you want to get into it. Whereas DICE is, hey, we're the people in charge of all these companies. We're the development leads on all these different things. We're, if you talk to someone at DICE and they're there and they're in the suit, generally they are a big wig at their company. They're a big deal in terms of development.
The one time I went to DICE was with Andrew Goldfarb back when we were at IGN. And it was funny because, you know, we often talk about when we go to VidCon, how you and Nick would know nobody.
Yeah.
And I'd be kind of behind you guys, be like, hey, this is that person, this is that person. You know, this is why they're a big deal. They're a big deal for that. That's how Goldfarb was to me at DICE.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, that guy made whatever.
She made that.
It was just like, holy crap.
Right.
Like, DICE is on some legendary shit that you don't really notice. And I feel like in the last couple of years, they've been streaming the awards and kind of making some big momentum towards it being a quote unquote real thing that people should care about.
Sure.
But I think they're doing a really good job with it. I think you're doing a really good job with it. I was just telling you earlier today, it's like you go off and the way that Kinda Funny works is we all do different things and kind of we'll do a shoot here, shoot there. You're traveling all the time and it's just kind of normal. So you leaving last week was like, oh yeah, Greg's gone. He's doing some shoot.
But
it wasn't until like I watched the recap of the show where I'm like, Greg Miller was hosting the Dice Awards. Like, this is a big deal. And, like, I'm super proud of you. And I thought you did a great job.
Thank you.
Chobot did a great job.
Yeah, Jess was great.
Back to you.
No, it's fine. So, going there last year was like, I didn't know what to expect. I'd never been before. Sure, I know a lot of people in the industry and I knew a lot of these people, but I don't know them on that level. And, like, again, that's an ambulance going by us, not at home for you. It was weird last year to go there. And I always talk about when I came out on the stage last year for the Dice Awards, I wasn't. I don't get nervous before we do anything, right? Because if you pay me to go do something and I host something somewhere and I fuck it up, I get to come back and make a podcast for these people about how I fucked it up and our audience thinks it's great. So last year wasn't nerve. It wasn't nerves going on the Dice stage, but it was that excitement and energy that was like crackling of like, wow, I'm working with a new team, all these different people. Me and Jess are hosting, and Jess and I never at IGN worked. We worked together, but I was an editor. I wasn't an on-camera personality, so it was rare that we did real things together. You know, I had different... Drucker wrote both shows for me this year, but he has, you know, his friend Chris, who is actually the man on the scene there, who's, you know, workshopping with us. Anyway, so it was a whole new team, new thing, new audience. And last year, I was like, oh, I can't wait to get out there and do it. And I remember... not being nervous, but reading the script a bunch of times of like, man, I haven't read off a teleprompter forever either. You know what I mean? And walking out on that stage and saying my first joke last year and the crowd being like, that was funny. And I was like, oh, fuck, this isn't Kinda Funny Live. And that shook me. That was like a bop in the face of like, oh, fuck, I totally took for granted that I was going to come out here. And like, if you've been to a PAX panel I do or a Comic-Con panel where it's like enthusiasm and it's the kids who want to be there and all that. And like, oh, right, this is an award show that everybody's just getting drunk at and hanging out with their friends. Like, they're not necessarily here to be crazy. And coming off stage that first year, going right into our chat because we were hosting it, it was the mix of people being like, oh, man, the room's dead, and me being like, I think they like it. I just don't think they're the audience we're used to, along with, like you're saying, it's a first. We brought in a new audience last year, and so many people being like, when are they showing trailers for new games? And everybody be like, ooh, that's not this awards show. Last year was that mixed thing. So when they asked me again to come back this year, me and Jess to come back this year, I was super blown away because it's not that I thought I did a bad job last year, but last year was the year of at the after party. Everybody was like, oh man, you guys did a great job. And I was like, really? Be honest. Do you seriously think we did a good job? Because I can't tell, and that's not a good sign. Usually I know if I fucked it up or if it was great. And everybody like, no, you did. So for them to ask us back, it was a vote of confidence that, no, they really did like it. It was like I had drawn it up in my head in retrospective. Like, no, I think they're just a quiet audience, and that's not how it is. So getting to come back this year and do it was way better, and I think everybody knew each other. And Jess and I know our strengths together, which I don't think, you know, you wouldn't know before, and our weaknesses to that thing. And so does Drucker and Chris when they're writing a script for us, let alone the fact of getting to come out there and knowing now how I have to engage, how I need to engage with this audience of developers, right? And I think you see that in the opening monologue of the fact that when Jess almost curses, and I'm like, oh no, fuck that, fuck, and like everybody bursts out. That's
hilarious.
And like, I the Ed Boon birthday shout out begins because at lunch, Jen and I were sitting there eating and talking to a couple other developers, and Ed came out and he's like, all right, say goodbye to them. He's like, oh, hey, Greg Wallen. And then somebody's like, do you know that it's his birthday? And I was like, oh no, I don't. And then I went back and like 2 hours before the show, I inserted that in there. And so,
and also, thank God, you know, I want to give you some praise for just saying happy birthday, Ed, and not having people sing the whole song, because I as you were going, I was like, oh no, don't do it, just don't do it, that's way too much time.
Well, again, it's too much time, and I don't the energy in that room, would they actually stick with me and us for the entire thing?
That would have been cringeworthy and bad. You handled it right. I was that's my boy.
I want you to know that I 100% proposed singing the song. And Drucker and Chris and the writer, they're like, no, we'll just do the happy birthday show. I'm like, all right, it's your show, see what happens. It's a huge honor to get to go there, long and short of it. You know, last year and this year, me being asked to be a host of this stems from the Game Awards speech when I won Trending Gamer. And, you know, that was special to me because obviously Trending Gamer was my one and only chance I felt at the time to actually say something to on the grandest stage where all eyes of video games are, where I'm not windowed on IGN, I'm not windowed on Kind of Funny, I'm not only getting to a very small select group of people where I could actually make a statement. And so for that to ring so true and resonate with so many developers that, again, this year talked to me about that speech again, that's what's awesome about DICE. Let alone the fact that these opportunities, like I talked about, I believe, on Twitter recently, or no, Reddit, about how, or no, I did them both. Anyways, that my successes are your successes, the listener, the viewer, the Kind of Funny best friend. Because when I go there, and it sucks that you can't all come and be there with me, we're not live streaming 24/7. The amount of these developers who I would think don't have a fucking time, an hour, a minute free in their day that talk to us, talk to me about the shows, talk about the hosts, and most importantly, talk about you, the community, and how great you are, and how welcoming, how anytime they do anything, even tangentially related to us, and you guys respond, or they click on a profile and see that you're hashtag a Kind of Funny best friend or something, like, it's fucking awesome. And like, so it's awesome that, you know, I get to go there and talk to these people on that stage, that they think of me as one of their own peers. That, I mean, I remember at Game Awards when Jeff Gerstmann was nominated for Trendy Gamer like 2 years before I won or whatever. And I remember being like, wow, that's awesome. I'll never have that opportunity, let alone to be up there in front of everybody talking and joking around. It was amazing.
Very cool.
DICE was amazing. Thank you for everything you guys give me. I swear we'll get to the real show in a second. If you didn't know, this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD, with your questions, comments, concerns, anything you want to talk about, new segments. It's all for this video game show that we put on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We record it live. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or listening later on podcast services around the globe. And breaking news.
Whoa.
And I think it's still breaking and happening. We are going to be on Spotify podcasts.
Yes, that we're still working on it. The idea is, as far as we know, Rooster Teeth and the big wigs up there pulled some deals, pulled some strings, made some things happen. All of our podcasts will be going on to Spotify. They're currently ingesting into the system.
We have a lot of podcasts,
and at some point they will be available. Hopefully very soon, but like the process has started, and we were told by Spotify available now, and it's not there yet.
Yeah.
So
it's one of those, I would imagine they're just going to start popping one at some point.
I think it's going to be random one by one. Yeah. So
we're working on it.
If that's how you want to listen to the show, get hyped. It's happening.
And a huge shout out to Rooster Teeth. If you are disconnected from the inner workings of Kinda Funny. We, of course, are independently owned and operated by us, the idiots you see on screen every day. But Rooster, we're part of the Let's Play family, so like they help out with ads and the merch, obviously, and stuff like
and
that.
And getting us on Spotify.
And this is one of those things that, you know, Spotify had podcasts. We were like, fuck, we want to be on those. We hit up Spotify. Publicly, no response, or not publicly, emails, no response. Eventually, we bitched and moaned on one of the shows. Spotify DM'd us and was like, hey, I'm the community manager, and we can't do it because you don't use this service. And we're like, oh, fuck. Until they expand, there's nothing we can do. But Rooster Teeth, find a way. So thank you very much. More housekeeping for you. Tomorrow, it's the What's Good Games Takeover. Andrea, Renee, Brittany, Bromrocker, all coming over here. They're hosting the show by themselves.
That'll be fun.
I get to kick up my feet and do a lot of work that I need to do. Because it's a huge week, if you crazy didn't know. Week. A lot of week. Barb from Rooster Teeth is actually on tomorrow on the Kinda Funny Morning Show doing a GOG. And then Xavier Woods, WWE superstar Austin Creed from Up Up Down Down will be here Wednesday making content with us as well. All over the place. And then remember that this show, well, I don't know why I say remember because you wouldn't know yet, is brought to you by Brooke Linen, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, I'm sorry it's so late. Let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. I'm glad you waited this long. I'm sorry it's underwhelming. Two stories on the Roper Report.
I'm going to add one.
A baker's dozen.
Sorry, you're
adding. We got a Tim Getty's hype story of the day. It'll be number three.
Kevin, what do we do? He just added a third one, but you already said a baker's dozen. What do we do?
It's just the normal dozen at that point.
Baker's dozen plus one.
Baker's dozen plus one. All right, yeah. I like that. First story, there appears to be a little shout out to one Hideo Kojima in Metal Gear Survive. This is via Twitter. It's being reported all over the place.
Is it a good thing? Is it a positive thing? Is everyone friends?
It's a good thing. Yeah, this is from the developer. This is what, there's a lot of hypothesis and like you were kidding. Clearly this is on purpose. It's from the developers. It's good.
Okay.
I'm citing Michael Yurko on Twitter, who seems that his tweet had the most traction about this. I saw it on Reddit from a different person, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. But Michael on Twitter says, am I the only one who saw Kojima Productions Forever using the first letter of the highlighted code names? What he's talking about is there's this dossier, right, of like a clipboard with all these code names on it. And if you go down, the first letter of that spells out KJP Forever. And then the other two names are like the directors or producers on the game who are like, what?
But there's some really not nice things about them.
Well, I mean,
one says bastard.
Yeah.
And the other says, I forgot what, but it wasn't nice.
Yeah, but I took that as like in Metal Gear 5 when you recruit people with laughing octopus. Or not laughing. That's clearly the character. You know what I mean? I took Jackal. I assume they were somehow in on this joke.
I have
they
a very a different read on this
okay,
story.
Okay, tell me your read. Tell me your read.
I think that there's people in Konami that were doing this that are not happy about the situation.
Oh, of course.
I think they're going to get fired.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay. Interesting. Yeah.
I think this is not a cool thing. I think this is a... I mean, it's cool from our side, but I think this is an intentional jab, fuck you. We're on the inside, but we're still on Kojima's side type situation.
Sure. I see. Interesting. I that's what I took away from the message, obviously, that we still love you. The two names at the bottom I took away, and I, you know, browsing the stories I saw, I didn't call that angle out, which I appreciate.
The stories I saw did.
Okay.
I'm trying to find it.
Sure, yeah, do your thing. Well, I mean, either way, we've summarized it. Yeah. The two names.
I want to know what the other thing was, because it was bastard and something
else. You're on it. You'll figure it out, of course. Mm-hmm. Don't bother writing into kindoffunny.com/ you're wrong. Tim's about to get it. Momentarily. Tim will have this another name for you. It's interesting that it's in there. I was wondering how they would work this in, because you know someone there is obviously going to be working in Kojima references some way, shape, or form. This is a nice way to do it. And plus, there's the dossier page I'm talking about that takes a shot at the director and producer, or whoever it is, or maybe not a shot. I thought it was a good thing, but apparently not.
The cunning was the other one. But
and see, that's my thing, is I thought that like, well, it kind of can be used in a derogatory sense, too.
I don't know what article I was reading or where it was on Reset Era, but it was this whole thing of like cunning was used by Kojima in different ways that were not good in the past. And like there's this whole thing. But as with everything with Kojima, there's this spider web of conspiracy.
Sure. Yeah, I just took it as that, hey, we're putting our names in there and having it that way. And then also on top of the dossier page I'm talking about on the clipboard, I think somebody else showed on some other roster, it was in reverse. So KJP Forever going up in a different way when you have these characters for the first time. I still haven't played Survive, so I'm not 100% sure where they're being pulled from. But speaking of which, we have two questions / comments about that there. Metal Gear Survive. Tim, you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
First one comes from Mark, who wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, Too long, didn't read. Greg, it's like Friday the 13th. Unapologetically bad, but can manage to get its hooks in you. Tim, it's totally worth a party mode, but you need to level up 4 accounts for it to be fun. What's good kind of funny? Tim, just a heads up, you mentioned looking into Metal Gear Survive to see if it would be viable for a party mode. If I may put my 2 cents in, I want to say that it definitely is. However, it's a bit of a struggle in the beginning. You do need to level up your characters slightly and play a few chapters in the story, up to chapter 5 or so in my opinion, to unlock some of the basics and make co-op fun. While this is a normal expectation, it will require that you bring 4 accounts up to this point in order to play, in my opinion, a pretty fun co-op mess of Horde and Tower Defense mode. The challenge is probably finding 4 people willing to give their time. That's going to be a problem. Yeah. I got my code. I got a code for it. I haven't installed it yet. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to tinker with it. But I don't know.
Tinker away.
How am I going to get you and Andy and
if you
maybe
tinker,
Kevin?
If you
maybe
tinker
Kevin.
Enough and you're like, hey, it's worth getting this. Yeah. I'm down.
Mark continues. That being said, I spent the first week playing Metal Gear Survive. That's what he says. And I found myself wanting to share my thoughts. First off, there's no question that this game is rough. The movement feels slightly off. The combat can sometimes be finicky. The codex scenes are lazy. The AI voice is off-puttingly slow. And perhaps most frustratingly, progression is largely locked behind the story. Yet somehow, the game drew me and my friends in. Maybe because of our nostalgia for Metal Gear Online and for the base building of Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker /5. In the midst of all its faults lies something familiar. That sense of Metal Gear gameplay, the cinematography of the cutscenes, subtle traces of Kojima emulated by a team that was most likely caught between the crossfire of the drama with Konami. If there is anything worth playing in this game, it is the co-op mode, which is inexplicably locked for you in easy mode until level 25, where normal is unlocked and gets challenging. Call it what you will, a shameless money grab, an attempt to take sour lemons and make something resembling lemonade, a sincere effort by those left behind. There's something here. Unfortunately, I doubt many people will see it because it takes too long and too much to get there. The game relies too heavily on the Metal Gear ethos, but if you have the time and want to give it a shot, there's an enjoyable mess of a game to be found eventually. Awesome. Thank you for the awesome content, Mark. I do not want to give that the shot. You totally unsold me on wanting to play that, Mark. I don't want to sit there through a game. It's rough around the edges. Movement's off. Combat can be finicky. Codex lazy. And I got to put in a whole bunch of time to even get to co-op?
Yeah, to even get to the part that's kind of okay. An enjoyable mess.
You understand that Monster Hunter's out, right? It's fun from the get-go. Ain't that right, Kevin? Yeah. Thank you, Kevin. The Dumb Ace wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hello, KFGD crew. Over the weekend, I've played about 12 hours of Metal Gear Survive, and I must say, I freaking love it. It is a very well-made survival game, and I love the mechanics of combat in this game. However, I have a confession to make. I've never played a single Metal Gear game before this one. So with that being said, which games are essential to play to understand Hideo Kojima games, and so I can finally get on the hype train to Death Stranding?
The essential games to play to understand? None. You'll never understand, truly. The non-joke answer, I mean,
you gotta play them all.
You gotta play them all.
Yeah, you can't.
Well, man, I don't think you need to play them all. You need to play Metal Gear Solid 1.
Yep.
You need to play Metal Gear Solid 2.
Yep.
You need to play Metal Gear Solid 3.
Yep.
You need to play Metal Gear Solid 4.
Yep.
And
so you're saying now
you need to play Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker and 5.
Yeah, no, that's correct. And I would also say that's all. I wasn't going to say Portable Ops. I wasn't going
to. That's not all, though. Portable Ops is a real Metal Gear Solid game. Mm-hmm. It is. I'm not talking Acid. I'm not including the other one that they did.
The Game Boy one?
Well, the Ghost Babble. That was a.
They did do Acid.
Definitely
too.
Not Acid 2. Portable Ops is like, I mean, it's a weird variation, but so is Peace Walker. It's just, it turned it a different way. But there was story elements that then eventually went away. But that's what I'm saying. You don't need to play that.
All the ones you can play on your PlayStation 3, you should play. Well, you know what I'm saying? I was saying that because there's like the collection, right? The HD collection that has 1, 2, 3, and Peace Walker. No. Yeah, well, the special edition, this is where it gets weird. Don't fucking write in. You're wrong. Well, you're wrong this one because it was the American version didn't come with one, but the UK version did come with a download for Metal Gear.
Well, Legacy Collection did. There was the HD thing, but that was just 2 and Peace Walk. 2, 3, and Peace Walker was involved somehow.
Yeah.
But Legacy Collection had a code for 1, 2, 3 HD versions.
Okay.
And 4.
Okay. Yeah. So play all the core ones.
Yes.
And Peace Walker, which I think is a core one.
Which I agree.
Just making sure.
Yeah. But I'm saying it's not all of them. There are other ones that are debatable. And I feel like Peace Walker wouldn't count, except 5 is so similar to it, where five is like a direct sequel in a lot of ways. So it does count.
Five is also one that I, you know, the gameplay is the best it's ever been. Mm-hmm. It's the prettiest it's ever been. I think you could skip it. What story element are we losing that's actually an awesome element?
If that argument was being made,
yeah,
I would say don't play Peace Walker. I just think if you're just trying to understand the Kojima and the Metal Gear story for what it is, I feel like Peace Walker really does just take it in a different direction, and it keeps the franchise going in an interesting way. But it's it spins off. Whereas I feel that the rest of them have.
I think Peace Walker is my favorite Metal Gear game, but I'm with you in the fact of, even though I think it's a great sequel to 30,
yes, right,
a continuation of that story, it is a spinoff in a way that, like,
there's an argument, and this would be blasphemy, but there's an argument you don't need to play 3.
If you only want to go forward, one, two, and four,
I think you'll understand Kojima very well. There's going to be some weird elements, like with Eva, you're going to be like, who the fuck is she? But by the time you're in 4...
You're going to be asking a lot of questions.
You're going to be asking a lot of questions.
Yeah. What are you going to touch Survive?
I mean, I feel like if it had come out and everybody was like, this is awesome,
yeah.
then I'd be like, well, I was wrong and I have to. But everyone's just... I don't have time for it. There's too many amazing games out right now.
Holy shit. Played Florence on the plane?
I downloaded Florence. How long is it?
Short.
Okay. Okay.
30 minutes? I don't
know. Oh, really? Okay,
great. It's one of those games. It's awesome. A mobile game.
Awesome. I'm trying to get through. I downloaded a game called Neon Drive. Apparently, it's available on PlayStation 4 and stuff. I just got it on mobile.
Okay.
I'm loving this motherfucking thing. It's fantastic.
Speaking of other things I'm downloading that I haven't started, you ever heard of this up-and-coming media corporation called Layer Media?
Mm-hmm.
I ran into these jokers at the airport, and they were all playing PUBG on their phone. I was like, did you guys sign into China to get... And like, no, man, Rules of Survival. It's a knockoff. It's available now, and it's pretty good. I was like, all right, I downloaded it. I haven't started it because I couldn't get the Wi-Fi to work at the airport, and then we were on the plane.
Rules of Survival, you know what I mean?
Number two, this is some inside baseballs for you. Reed Pop has bought a bunch of video game publications, including, and this is where it gets weird, is they bought this company that has video game publications and also runs, EGX. I'm just going to read the Polygon story for you, okay? Live event organizer Reed Pop, which runs the annual PAX gaming conventions, now owns some of the biggest publications in games. The company announced today that it has acquired the entire Gamer Network roster of websites, channels, and events as it enters into the editorial and video game content space. Reed Pop, a division of the larger Reed Exhibitions, produces numerous live events worldwide. In the U.S., it's best known for running both New York Comic Con and increasing the portfolio of PAX conventions. But the Gamer Network acquisitions marks previously uncharted territory for the company. This means they now own all the following publications: Eurogamer, U.S. Gamer, Rock Paper Shotgun, GamesIndustry.biz, Digital Foundry, ModDB. Polygon then says, but Gamer Network operates its own notable event as well, EGX, which touts itself as the largest gaming convention in the United Kingdom. Quote, as you might expect, it was our EGX events that brought us to Reed Pop's attention. This is from this is Ollie Welsh, Eurogamer's longtime reviews editor. But the Reed Pop team is 100% committed to our digital media business, which is a businessy way of saying our websites and YouTube channels too. Just as we, over a decade ago, figured that the online communities we'd built around our websites might want to meet up in the real world and play games, Reed Pop wants to find ways to talk to the communities it has built around its events outside of those events. Reed Pop's ownership of Gamer Network begins immediately, although staff at Eurogamer, US Gamer, and the other publications maintain that it's business as usual at the websites. So, interesting.
Yeah.
Reed Pop has come on fucking strong. I remember when I went to my first New York Comic Con with IGN and seeing them on the badge and getting emails when we were planning stuff. It's like, I've never heard of these guys. And then slowly but surely gobbling stuff up and then getting involved with PAX and taking PAX everywhere now and doing all these different things, let alone the fact that now they have EGX, which is the one I was here about that we should come over to over in the UK. But getting Eurogamer, getting US Gamer.
Everything you just said about Reed Pop and how they kind of were like, oh, who are you? And it's like, oh, you're actually very, very relevant. A lot of the sites on this list are that same way as well. Like Eurogamer, Digital Foundry. I mean, Digital Foundry is synonymous with
comparison videos
and understanding like the real tech side, which is such an important facet of video games these days with all the 4K and Xbox One X and PS4 Pro and all that stuff. Like, they are the people everyone goes to. Like, they are to that information what IGN is to general news and reviews, right? Like the golden standard. And then Eurogamer, I mean, man, in terms of news leaking, if it's not Jason Schreier and Klepek and them, it's Eurogamer.
Yeah, it seems like there's a leak. Time, if there's going to be a
Tom
leak
over
or
there,
yeah.
He's always fucking getting accurate information out there. US Gamer, whenever they put up articles, it's very thought-driven, opinionated.
And
there's a lot of, it reminds me of the articles like Colin used to do at IGN, where it's like it's something different than we normally see in games journalism. Gamesindustry.biz.
Yep.
That's one of the go-to sites for the more like nerdy ass business side of things. Like, this is quite the come up.
Yeah, it's really interesting. It'll be interesting to see what they do with all this stuff.
And Rock Paper Shotgun, a different style of Giant Bomb, I would say, where it's like they're a smaller site that has an alternative view on a lot of the game stuff. Very cool.
Tim.
Yes.
I'm super excited to see what this ReedPop acquisition becomes. But it's still so far away from actually having any fruit on the tree. If I wanted to know what digital shop drops, mom and dops came mopsy, where I go?
Sweet Bobaloo. I'm going to do my Tim Hype story first.
Oh, fuck. I forgot. It's number three good. On it's the Roper Report.
It's quick. It's a quick one. But the last couple days have been a countdown on the Pokemon Twitter account. So Pokemon on their account says February 27th is Pokemon Day. What are you doing to celebrate? Use hashtag Pokemon Day to show us and share, blah, 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 with this picture that says Pokemon Day is coming.
Pokemon. All right?
Then every day they've been counting down.
Sure.
And it's in cute little Pokemon references.
Of course it is.
Six Pokemon make a team.
Everybody knows course, that. That's know something that. They taught in
five cards from the fifth expansion. This is just them trying to promote their bullshit. I didn't really like this one. That wasn't good. Four elite trainers stand above, a reference to the Elite Four at the
Ash,
end of
and
each
the girl
game.
And the guy from Red.
Then
Kevin.
Then they did this like cute little GIF thing going through all the different maps of all the different generations.
Of course.
All the regions. That's cool. Three starter Pokemon. Each game has three starter Pokemon.
Yeah, I knew that part.
And then today, two different versions, two different adventures. What's this building towards? A whole bunch of nothing?
It's Pokemon Day.
Yeah. But are we getting some Pokemon Switch announcements? Are we overhyping ourselves? Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Should we expect it? Absolutely not. But I'm going to put it out there just so everybody knows that if it happens,
Tim Hadja,
I'm going to lose my shit on whatever day it
Wednesday.
Is tomorrow.
Wednesday. I thought you said, well,
the problem is that it's counting down till like their timing's off because they said February 27th.
Yeah.
But today's two. So tomorrow's one. I don't know who fucked up, but somebody did.
Okay. Okay.
But hey, if you're interested in Pokemon, stay tuned. Now go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah,
it's back for everybody. Now Greg's here, and
yeah,
everyone
I heard
can
a lot
calm
of
down.
People shit talking you.
Yeah,
you
good
can't,
lord,
you're too good for it.
It's ridiculous.
You know what I mean? I've given you the skeleton of an award-winning show, and you come in here and you shit on that skeleton.
I just shit all over it. It's just it's weird. It's really weird how much people care about weird things.
Because kids like to do it in the car. With you know, they like to listen. They like to be part of it. It's one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
This is what people do.
It is.
They're bopping along, going, listening to this. They're in study hall and they do it and they get yelled at.
I mean, what blows my mind is every time I hear someone else do it that's not you, they don't do it right.
Well, it's because it's jazz. You can do whatever you want with
it's
it.
It's not, though.
You when you're just same, like, I hate it, I'm too much.
You do
too
the
cool
same thing
it.
Every day.
I'm too cool for it.
I'm not too cool.
Well, that's the way Greg Miller
honestly,
does it.
I don't think I can do it justice, so I don't want to do it. Everyone's like, oh, Tim's too cool. I am not too cool. That is, you have the wrong read on that. I'm not good at humming. I'm not good at doing.
Kevin isn't either, but he gets out there and he does it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kevin picks up the
that's
bat
true.
And swings it. There he is. He's out today. Vala. Vicious Attack Llama Apocalypse is on PC. Spot the Difference comes to Switch. New dates for you. The MMO Soul Worker comes to PC in March. Pure Farming 2018 will be available for PC and leading current gen consoles on March 13th, 2018 and support mods day one. Octahedron, the 2D vertical action platformer by indie studios Demimonde, will bring its Kaleidoscope of Color to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Steam for PC on Tuesday, the 20th of March, 2018. I'm just copying them straight from press releases now because what I feel like I've been doing a disservice of is just being like, Game X comes out this day. What is Game X? Mm. Now you know that. Octahedron is a 2D vertical action platformer by indie studio Demimond and has a kaleidoscope of color. So, like, if those are your things. WWE items are coming to Rocket League this spring. More information soon. Mm-hmm. And then.
We already covered this last week.
Which part? The Kotaku thing?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry.
What are you doing?
Did you have the next thing? I just like this. Kotaku. Yeah. News.
Go.
It was breaking today. Or I thought it was breaking today.
No.
I missed it. Kotaku had an article up that says there's more Final Fantasy DLC coming. Originally, Final Fantasy 15 director Tabata said he wanted to add at least three more add-ons in 2018. That was the plan. Now Tabata is saying there are four more incoming and all the DLC might not come out this year. You say you've already covered it?
Yeah. My infamous quote at this point that I said on last Friday's show with Jared was I was like, Final Fantasy 15 went from the game that was never coming out to the game that won't stop coming out.
Oh, okay. Because, yeah, I liked how Kebabs wrote in today, making me, again, think it was news. And he just said, when will it end?
It won't.
Yeah, it'll end.
No, it won't. It's going to keep coming out. They're going to keep adding. There's going to be new pocket edition this, pocket edition. There'll be a Switch version at some point. Guarantee it. Oh, might take a long time, but it'll come in some form.
And then over on Xbox, I totally broke my own rules and say just the Nine Parchments is blasting its way to Xbox One on March 7th. What kind of game is it? It kind of looked like Diablo. I didn't put that information in there for you. I should have, though. My apologies. Deals of the day.
Deals of the day.
Thank you. Got GameSpot telling me about what's coming to Xbox Game Pass. This is an update. Before Sea of Thieves arrives on the service March 20th, Game Pass subscribers will get access to seven more titles starting March 1st, including Rise of the Tomb Raider, Super Lucky's Tale, Resident Evil Revelations 2, Oxenfree, and the classic Sonic game, Sonic CD. That's going on. There's more there, too, if you want to go look at it. Then Danny J wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGT and says, Deal of the Day submission. Hey, Greg, I know you love talking about Best Buy's Gamers Club Unlocked, so here you go. Tim's fighting game of 2017, Injustice 2, is $15.99 with Gamers Club this week. Thank you for all the things you guys do.
Totally worth that.
No, Danny J, thank you for submitting Deals of the Day just like anybody can, along with their questions. Like we're about to do in reader mail by going to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. But first, let me tell you, reader mail is brought to you by brooklinen.com. What is brooklinen.com? It's where you go and you get bedding.
Bedding, sheets, you get pillowcases,
duvet covers. Duvet covers. Now, I forget, you were doing this?
I haven't.
You have?
Yes.
Have you been using it?
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts?
Love it.
Me too.
Love it so much. It's because the thing is, sometimes with the duvet covers, and they can be a little too soft's not the right word. I like them soft, but I also like them firm.
Sure.
I like it when it feels like there's substance on me, and it's not just like, you know, a soft version of a plastic bag. You know what I mean?
Of course. Nobody wants soft.
Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
Because there's a lot of times. Well, that's what it feels like.
Again,
not these.
We are legitimately sleeping on these. And it sounds like a goony thing, right? Of like, bed linens, whatever. I forget how good new sheets feel. How good a new duvet cover feels.
Mm-hmm.
That's why when we got this sponsorship, I was like, yes, this is a good one.
It's time.
And this is very much like the Omaha Steaks. Something you don't want to think about. I'm telling you right now, you need to think about this. Because you will impress whoever sleeps in your bed with you. Even if it's just a dog like Portillo. You go there. It's foolproof. You get to pick. You click on the buttons on what colors you want, what patterns you want. You put them. I digress. Brooklinen is the fastest growing bedding brand in the world. Over 12,000 five-star reviews, Brooklinen sheets have been named the winner of the best of online bedding category by Good Housekeeping. Versatile colors and patterns, you can mix and match to complement any decor. This is luxury bedding, underpriced. You have to try these high-quality sheets today. You spend a third of your life in sheets. I like this. They make a difference on how you sleep. Start getting better sleep with better sheets. All right, okay.
Hell yeah, man.
More importantly, though, no unnecessary markups and fees. Most bedding is marked up as much as 300%. They don't do that. Mm-hmm. Brooklinen.com has an exclusive offer just for you. You can get $20 off and free shipping when you use promo code GAMESDAILY, all one word, at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident that they'll offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all their sheets and comforters. The only way to get 20% off and the free shipping is to use the promo code GAMESDAILY at brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code GAMESDAILY, Brooklinen. These are the best sheets ever.
That's their
catchphrase. That is a tagline.
Wow.
These are the best sheets ever.
I mean, I cannot confirm that they are the best sheets ever because I have not slept on every sheet in the entire world,
sure.
But I can say, out of any sheet I've ever even been near,
right,
these are by far the best. I'm not just saying that. That's real.
I mean, and this is, again, part the ad thing. It's the fact of what a great idea, because I never buy new sheets, so all my sheets suck, and it's just the thing of like, oh, again, I don't have to go to the store and think about it. How big is my thing? Look at the tag. I got a full or a queen mattress. Great. Go boom. There. Start putting the thing. I just like when you click the buttons and the colors and patterns change, and then I see what looks good. I'm like, that looks good. I didn't even have to consult my wife. Mm-mm. I was like, this looks good. I sent it, and she's like, oh, you did a good job. I'm like, God, yeah. Right,
I
did it.
I'm jealous of you. I wish I did that. I'll let Gia choose. And I like what we have, but I like what you have better.
We'll use a different email address and get $20 off and free shipping right to brooklyn.com/gamesdaily. Or not slash, you know, whatever. Anyways, I'm out of it. Brandon wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD.
What does Brandon have to say?
He says, hey, Greg and Tim, during this year's E3, it'll be 5 years since The Last of Us first released, June 14th. How would you like to see Sony celebrate this game during its press conference, if at all? Thanks for the great show and awesome job on the awards show, Greg. Thank you, Brandon. I don't think they celebrate it at all. I think it's a good lead into their demo if they're doing an old school kind of press conference. Sony's E3s as of late, right, have been, hey, everybody, it's the PlayStation conference. Thanks for coming. Games. All right, see you guys later. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if they're going to come out and do the whole, hey, blah, blah, blah. And like, remember what it used to be?
5 years ago.
It used to be charts and all this shit. But I could see it being like, Sean Layden comes out and he does the little intro and then he is like, so let's start at the top. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
5 years ago, Naughty Dog changed the world
with
The Last of Us. And now they're ready to do it again. Maybe even says in 2019 or something like that, which he won't, but maybe he would. And then we jump into that trailer and we get a trailer and we're off then. I don't think they need to celebrate it anywhere.
It would be a PSX thing.
And I feel like at that point, you've waited too long to celebrate. I think there'll be a panel maybe at The Last of Us 5 years later, but there'll also be a panel regardless of.
Mm. Well, you can do the Last of Us Remastered 5 years later.
It could do that.
Womp, womp.
Womp, 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 womp. Why is it a womp, womp? I don't know.
That was not a funny joke.
You lost. Okay. I was just like, whoa. I think they just talk about Last of Us 2. If there were no news for The Last of Us 2 or something like that, you'd have more of a leg to stand on. Oh, maybe they'll do something to celebrate it.
Yeah.
They got enough stuff and they don't want to confuse you.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to do that. It would be just a mention to lead in. And even that, I don't know. Don't know.
Mr. Bump writing in. What? No, he wrote in.
Mr. Bump.
I got to shake it off now. You know what I mean? I went up there. Bump. I read off a teleprompter. Now I can't even remember how to talk on my own. I need Mike Drucker to tell me what to say. Mr. Bump wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, Kia ora. Kind of funny. First time, long time from New Zealand. I'm sure that made sense to whoever.
Kia ora?
Kia ora. It's two words. K-I-A space O-R-A. Right. It's something New Zealand. It might be a New Zealand curse.
Aussie, 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 oi, oi, oi. Oi.
With the DICE Awards just wrapped up and the questions being asked of the RPG Game of the Year Award, I believe another game was snubbed for this category. Xenoblade Chronicles 2, baby. This game has had its teeth in me since I started it all 200 hours ago, and I have no intention of stopping anytime soon. It is an amazing RPG that I think deserves to be at least in the question, if not contending. Do you think its release near the end of the year meant it was missed, or perhaps its very Japanese anime tropes turn people off? I just want more people to know about this gem, Mr. Bum.
I think it's a combination of those two aspects, plus the fact that when this game was first revealed during the Nintendo presentation they did in Japan, it was really awkward. Alongside a whole bunch of other games, and they were like, oh, it's coming this year. Sorry, that was a weird noise. I don't know what the fuck that was.
Something like a death rattle all of a sudden came out.
It was like a reverse burp. I don't even know.
You're Kirby in it.
Kirby. What was I saying? Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
Yeah. Weird presentation.
When it was a weird presentation when like, oh, 2018. It was like, or 2017. It was like, no way. I don't believe you for a second. And I feel like that kind of hurt the game because nobody believed it was actually going to make it this last year. And every time they talked about it, they kept sticking to it. I felt like the story just kept being like, nah, it's not happening. And I don't know what they could have done to get around that, but I feel like that did hurt the game.
Interesting.
Where people just kept being like,
not a chance in hell. Stop not wasting a chance. My time.
And then they did it. Yeah. It actually came out. But yeah, it came out at the end of the year. A lot going on around that time. And I think it just kind of got lost in the shuffle. And in addition to that, I think that it's Xenoblade Chronicles 2 is a big ask for people like Greg Miller, who are playing the Switch and are super into giving games they never would have tried before a chance on the Switch. But I think that's still a tall order when it's the second in the franchise and you look at the trailer and you're like, what the fuck is happening? And I think Nintendo didn't do a good job with their Direct when it came to Xenoblade of showing it off, especially in that same Direct having Project Octopath Traveler, which looked awesome, and then being like, demo available now or tonight. with Xenoblade, they were like, hey, let's spend 15 minutes looking into all the different systems. It's like, we don't even know what this is.
Yeah.
So I think it's all that stuff kind of combined. But everybody that played it seems to have really liked it. But I wonder if that is because you are already in that ecosystem. You already know the game. You already know what to expect from it. And those are things that you love. I don't think that this game ever had a real chance of breaking out of that mold. Having said that, it is the best-selling game in the franchise so far. So,
Yeah, I think if you're wanting to gain more mainstream attention, recognition, if you're talking about awards, yeah, I think releasing it that late does tie its shoes together and make it go, oh, how are we going to do that? And then how you build buzz about it. Because that's a game I feel you got to put out and let people talk and talk and talk about it. But it's a weird thing in video games and the way we all act, right, is when you get to the end of a calendar year and you start building, because even DICE Awards, it's like, it's kind of weird to give out awards in 2018 for 2017 because it feels like this is like pretty much the last one, right? And so granted, this is a different audience. This is developers for developers. I get all that stuff. But there's such a hype building up into December / the beginning of January for like, oh man, what games are going to get? What's in the, I played this. And like, people have been campaigning for months, right? I'm already talking about 2018 game of the year, right? Of like, well, holy crap, like Celeste was amazing and Monster Hunter World's been great. And I talked about this. We got to bring it up on Gamescast. Remind me, is I want everyone to rank all the games they play throughout the year. Okay. I'm going to make a spreadsheet and just like rank them there. And then I'm going to make another tab too with all the video game awards categories, so we can start putting in. So when Jeff hits us up, it's like, here you go, we got boom. It done. Yeah. However, I feel like, yeah, when you take out the legs of, all right, people can't play it early to campaign for it, and then when we get to the new year, it's really weird the way we work, and it's probably an unhealthy thing, but in the way that the video game industry, we're excited for what's next all the time. And so 2017 already feels like it was months ago. I don't even, what even came out? And I was talking about, man, if you put a game out at the end of January, what a great time because everybody's over there. What the hell? We all talked about how big our backlogs were going into the Christmas break or whatever, holiday break. Mm-hmm. But when we got out of it, I didn't finish everything, but I'm not going back to anything. I'm like, well, Don't, they're not even part of the conversation anymore. That the year has been closed and that book's on the shelf now. Why would I worry about it?
Yeah. I also think that with a lot of the award shows, the cutoff dates are interesting and weird, and they're not necessarily the end of the year. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Xenoblade didn't make the cutoff for.
A lot of the shows. It's embarrassing, obviously, but I was also on stage and doing stuff backstage. And all this. They ran a thing of like how the DICE Awards get selected. I'm not sure if maybe this does fall outside of it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's also you with Persona.
I forget when it cut off. When did it come out? Did December something?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I forget when the cutoffs were for what Game Awards were early. I just think but even that totally hurts it going into next year.
Yeah.
Because again, it'll be like nobody will think about this 2017.
But I also think it's, and this is there's just no way around this because not everybody can play every game.
Yeah.
But when you look at it, it's similar to what we talked about last week with me and Jared talking about the racing category of like Mario Kart winning racing. It's like, really? Like, yeah, it won because more people played that.
Yeah.
And it's because like that's just
a go-to. You feel like you have an opinion on that.
You feel like you have an opinion. It's like, yeah, but is it really a better racing game than in this category? When you look at what are they really asking what the award is here? It's not what game's more fun. It's what's a better racing game.
This is why when we do game awards voting, we as a company abstain from so much. Because it will be, well, I played this and Andy played that and you played something. So we have three games because that's what they want you to have for Jeff Keighley. They want you to have three games to nominate to even be a part of the conversation. But
there's so many genres.
We're are we going to sit there and like we're going to nominate all and then argue between each other about these one game we've played? I don't have my feet in that camp. I don't know. And that's what's interesting about something like RPG, where it was, I thought, when they popped up, when we were backstage watching and the award nominees were all, I was like, oh, Persona's going to run away with this. And then Near One,
which was like, weird.
Huh, okay.
Great game, but I mean, like again, it's RPGs, like at this point.
Everything's an RPG. Like,
oh, is there a jump button in the game?
Yeah.
Everything's an RPG. Everything has a jump button.
Yeah. Except
for Time Splitters.
True, very true. Yeah, so I think it's weird. Like I don't know if there's ever going to be, in the same way I love video game enthusiast press, journalism coverage, whatever the fuck you want to call it, because it's all been shattered so much that there are all these different, like, oh, I want RPG reviews, I go there. I want to hear what Greg thinks about PlayStation, I'll go there. I feel like you have to go to those camps if you want to know like what's the best RPG of the year and how all this thing shakes out. I think you have to go somewhere like that rather than an IGN, rather than a DICE Awards. Mm-hmm. I think you need to go to the people who like, hey man, my passion is RPGs. I fucking freak out for a 200-hour game that I get to go through. Because I feel like most people, even if it was, and I'm not demonizing any awards show, any awards thing, you get all these games dumped on you. And like, yeah, how much are you, if you need to play through every RPG, like you're not going to. So how much of a game are you going to play? And if it is just anime tropes in the front, like, would you care and stick around longer? I don't know. It all depends. Basically, everything's broken. Your gods are dead. Mm-hmm. Eric Heffernan wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hey, Greg, long time, first time. I love what you guys do. Just wanted to say that before asking my question. Anyway, let us begin. Do you think trophies and achievements have ruined gaming for you in any way? Personally, I now have over 70 platinums, and today I hit a breaking point. I realized how much these trophies have ruined great games for me. I've even refused to play certain games because I know they will create uncompleted trophy lists in my account. For example, my experience with Gone Home was pointless and awful. I didn't experience the game at all. I watched a guide to unlock the trophies as fast as possible, and when I was done, I didn't experience the beautiful story the game wanted me to experience, and it genuinely upsets me to know I can't control myself with this. I know some people have a healthy relationship with these things, but for people with some OCD tendencies like myself, it can have a huge negative impact on the game. Eric. I don't think I've ever had a trophy ruin a game for me. I definitely, you know, there was times where I think even now, right, I'll play a shitty, whatever, 15-minute game to get a platinum because why not or whatever, mm-hmm. if I have something to kill because I don't want to be invested in that world. But even now with, like, Monster Hunter, like, I've never had the platinum obsession like that where I can't, I have so many incomplete, I have so many 0%. And like, oh, you can delete those now. I'm like, why would I want to? It's a good record of things I've actually popped in, even if I didn't play through for the first trophy. But Monster Hunter, when I started that game, I was like, there's not a chance in hell I'll ever platinum this, I assume, because it's going to be ridiculous. So I didn't even look at the trophies for the longest time. And even now, I've popped in there to sync them and look. I'm like, oh, I got 30%. Maybe. Well, I think about maybe because I like it so much. But I'm like everything else, I'm sure, you know, I'm, what, 80 hours into Monster Hunter now, according to my save file.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. No, it's good. It's good. It's great. But I feel like one day there'll be, you know, I don't know what it'll be, but something will come along where I'm like, oh, fuck, I've been waiting for this too. I really need to play it. And that'll derail my obsession of going home and playing it nonstop. But I've never had one, I think, ruined for trophies. You don't care at all, right?
I don't care at all.
And no. So that's the thing is I would feel
To me, that's funny because I'm kind of the opposite of it where trophies, when I feel like they're attainable for me, it just adds more enjoyment.
Yeah. No, totally.
Otherwise, I'm like, not going to do it.
And that's the thing is like how many, I yell on the shows all the time, oh my God, this game doesn't have a platinum. You know what I mean? I probably would have gotten that platinum. I just like, I know there's people who want platinums in there and it does matter and they should have them. I mean, Eric, I would say just turn off the trophy notifications and go cold turkey. Like, I know that's tough and I know you have OCD, but it's like once you literally get over it and you're just like, I'm not going to worry about it. You don't worry about it. It is when you want it. And it's fun, I feel, to every so often really get nitty gritty and nickel and dime and watch a thing. Yeah, you should have. I mean, Gone Home is an hour and a half long experience. You should have played that on its own and then worried about trophies. That's how I play most of my games, I would think, is that I jump in there and I don't. Like South Park's a good example where.
Yeah, my name is Mayo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's different. But South Park, when it was, you know, oh, cool. Like, you can create your character and then, okay, there is a trophy for creating a black character and playing through on the toughest difficulty. I saw that and I thought about doing it right away, but I was like, you know what? I probably will never even double back to the little trophies I need. So I just instead made Jen and played through on normal and I was happy. And when I finished it, I was like, man, I like that game enough that I would think about it, but I know I don't have the time, so I'm not going to. And I moved on. Like you can do it. You can break this habit.
I believe in you, Eric.
And then you just come back for the trophies you want. Like Moss, if you saw their trophy list went up and they immediately tweeted me like, we got a platinum. Doruk Evisum. Again, I probably sent someone to another dimension with that name. Writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, what's up, Greg? Last Friday, I wrote about Sword Art Online Fatal Bullet as it was coming out, but Tim ignored my post. Frowny face. I just wanted to make sure you're not sleeping on this game, Greg. It is basically a new Freedom Wars for PlayStation 4. It is by the same dev and it looks awesome. I bet you would enjoy it. It's not just another anime game. I do believe this will be a very solid game. Keep up the good work. P.S. My last name is pronounced like Evjim, not Sim. Stupid Turkish pronunciation. So let's try it again. Doruk Evjim. Got it. A lot of people have said that. I've known about it since the beginning that that's what the Freedom Wars guys went over to go do. I hear you. The problem is Monster Hunter is scratching the Freedom Wars itch. I think even better than Freedom Wars did for me personally. Where it is, cool, Monster Hunter is super attainable. I need this thing to get that armor. I go out and I farm that character for a few fights and I got it and I got the armor I want and I'm done. It's not like Freedom Wars where, fucking geez, you want the platinum in that? Well, this guy, you got to fight this guy at the highest difficulty, and he, you know, there's like a 0.010% chance. Well, that's not how points work. Anyways, a 0.01% chance that he's going to drop whatever the fuck you need, but you have to hit him in this. Fuck that.
Fuck
that wasn't
that.
Fun.
No.
Tim?
Yes.
It's time to squad up.
Never roll alone.
This is where one of you writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, platform of choice, username, why you need help in a game, and I read it here. I actually decided I'm going to start simplifying things. Dumb Ace 15, all one word. Dumb Ace 15, 1-5. Writes in. What?
We read a question from him.
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
I
recognize that name.
Writes in, needing help on his PlayStation. He says, hello, KFGD. I've never been one for adding random people to my friends list on PlayStation. However, after being part of the Kinda Funny community for a while now, I've been really impressed with the best friends. I am not on every night, but when I am on, I'm usually playing Metal Gear Survive, Mass Effect Andromeda, or Battlefield 1. And I would love to have some fellow best friends to play with. Dumbace 15 is like, you know what? I'm going to go for all of these games that just need a little love. You know what I mean? Everybody's playing those. Those other servers are getting enough of a workout. Give me Metal Gear Survive, Mass Effect Andromeda multiplayer, and Battlefield 1. Battlefield 1,
the exception. All right, cool.
That's a good one, Dumbace 15. Everybody, hit him up on PSN. Be a best friend. Show him why this community is awesome.
They are so awesome.
Tim?
Yes.
If people are watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, we ask them to keep us honest by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and telling us what we screw up as we screw it up.
Mm-hmm.
What do we mess up today?
Well, I got some breaking news from Joey Noel. The shows are now available on Spotify.
Hey!
So all the Kind of Funny podcasts, which include this show, Kind of Funny Games Daily,
yeah,
Kind of Funny Games Cast, the Game Over Greggy Show, the Kind of Funny Morning Show, and Kind of Funny Reviews, which includes the MCU review and our reacts, all in one beautiful podcast. So if you listen to Spotify, we'd appreciate a lot if you go over there, subscribe, like, review, whatever they allow you to do. Just click on all the things.
Yeah, you figure it out. I'm looking into it right now. Thank you.
Appreciate it. You're wrong. Let's see.
Nothing. No, I'm kidding. We definitely screwed something. There it is. I see stuff happening.
Kebab says, not a you're wrong, but as a foreigner to Metal Gear, I'm surprised no case was made for Metal Gear 1 and 2 on the MSX2. Any reasoning behind this? Totally.
You don't need to play.
That is on some extra credit ass shit.
Yeah.
I put that on the same level as Portable Ops, where it's like, yeah, things do happen, but especially when it comes to Metal Gear Solid. The Metal Gear Solid series, Metal Gear MGS1 is essentially a remake. It's not actually, but it's essentially a remake of those games.
Well, you're talking about Metal Gear Solid?
Yeah.
Just make sure. I'm sorry. I found it on the show. I'm very excited to have us on podcast on Spotify. There you go. Yeah. Keep in mind, and I know it's a different time now, but when I played Metal Gear Solid, I was like, wow, this is awesome. And you watch the videos beforehand of like when they abducted Snake and put him in there and you play the game. And I was like, this is so cool. And then like, it was months later, someone blew my mind of being like, no, no. The story they're telling, you play, and I'm like, what the fuck? And I borrowed my friend's NES, and I played him, and I was like, this game is really hard. I remember why I didn't like NES games.
Ignatius Warehouse says, without Peace Walker, you lose all knowledge of Hugh Emmerich, who's a big part of the story of Five and his relation to Dr. Strangelove and the Mammal Pod, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, exactly. That's why I was saying, like, if you don't do Five, Peace Walker, you can kind of cut out, too, because it's like, there's a story.
But even there, I mean, like, the Peace Walker, Metal Gear, the Metal Gear Solid 5 story.
It's fucking garbage.
He's so thin. You're like, oh, look, it's Hal. It's Hal's dad. All right, cool.
I'm not going to go off too long on this, but I was watching some videos of Survive just to see, and for some reason, it does not look good. Mm. And that bothers me. Like, at least maybe it was just like, I was watching the Jim Sterling video on it, and I did not. And I was like, wow, this looks really bad. But then I was watching a bunch of other videos. I looked up, I guess it was related, and I clicked on a Ground Zero Let's Play, and I'm watching, I'm like, this is gorgeous. Video games don't look that good. I don't know what the Fox Engine did, the lighting is insane. Insane.
Insane in the membrane.
Kiora is Maori for hello.
And it's pronounced, thank you.
Kiora. Kebab says that.
Thanks, Kebabs.
That's it.
Hey, not bad at all. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Now on Spotify. Wherever you're going to watch, wherever you're going to listen, thank you so much for your support. Remember, you can get the show live as we record at twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you have Amazon Prime, you have Twitch Prime, we would love if you gave that 30-day free subscription to us. You might say, I listen on podcast services around the globe. I listen on Spotify. I watch on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. That's great. Do you got an Amazon Prime account? Just come over here and fucking link them. Give me the damn $5 so I can pay Kevin. It's not hard. I swear it's not hard. People are sometimes like, it's hard. I don't know what you're fucking doing. Are you logged in on Amazon, and do you have Amazon Prime? Yes? Google Twitch Prime. You click on it. You click on it, and it's going to say, do you want to give it away? You click on that button. You say, kind of funny games. It's over. You're done. You're back to listening to your shitty little kid over there. Look, what do you got? Macaroni picture he made in school. That's fucking great. These fucking kids. These tomorrow! Fucking kids. It's a What's Good Games Takeover. Andrea, Britt, running the show. I'm still going to assemble the doc. I'll try to insert some funnies in there for him.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure Andrea...
Try to throw them off.
I might have to come in and tell you about my Brooklinens again. Andrea hasn't... she uses Brooklinens. Maybe. I don't know. We'll maybe one of them. We'll check it out.
Yeah.
Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, it's been our pleasure to serve you. Ha! Hey!